And so Job has this force field around him. He's been protected. And always we look and look at this and think, well, we're having faith in God, but yet God actually turns around and does just the opposite and begins to remove his protection and says, I've got faith in my servant Job because I know his heart, right? And no matter what he's going through, Job will never, never turn on me.
Yeah.
Wow, you know. Can God have that same faith in you and me? That's a question to ask, isn't it? And I believe that God wants to be able to turn around and look at us and say, I can trust these people. These are my people. I've got faith in my people. Although he's our God, we always look to God as that we're having to do it towards God, and yet, has God got faith in us? Can we make it to such a place where God says, I've got faith in you. These are my people. I trust them. Jesus left his disciples on the earth, gave them a commission. He must have had faith in him. Yes, he sent his Holy Spirit to encourage, but he's not doing it for us, is he?
No.
God did not say, well, you know, give your life to me, give your life to Jesus, make him Lord of your life, and then I'll do everything for you. He didn't say that.
No.
Have faith. And in the same way, God is having faith in you and me, that we will do the right thing, that we will walk in faith with him, we'll walk in relationship with him. Why did he give the authority of the earth to Adam? Because he trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
He had faith in him. Wow, that's a big thought. Can God have faith in you and me for us to do the right thing, for us to be the right people, for us to say the right words, for us to act in faith and do the work of the kingdom of God? Because his spirit is in us.
Yeah.
Christ is in us. Yeah. We're not waiting for outside assistance. The truth is, the word, the power is within us.
Yeah.
That's what it says. And we have to feed that life that is within us, that new life, with the word of God. And when we do that, things will change. God will deal with things, yeah. But the word says here, in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not about this flesh and blood, but it's about the battle against rulers and against powers and against forces of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. The heavenly place in your life, you see, each of us is the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And each of us are part of the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. Right? So in this kingdom, my life, in your life, the kingdom of God, there is a heavenly place. And that is the high place where everything goes on, where the battle goes on, where you make decisions of what you're going to do. Are you going to stand on the word of God? Or are you going to doubt and let fear in? Are you going to believe God to do a miracle? Or are you going to doubt God? These are the challenges that we should face. And as we face these, we face them with the word of God. Because Romans 12 is one of, again, the famous scriptures. The renewing of your mind. Why does he talk about renewing our mind? Because our mind has been the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get saved, our mind, our thinking, has to change. And the only way we change our thinking is by being washed by the word of God.
Yeah.
I know we've said these things in the past, but we need to repeat these things because it is the word that will set you and I free. It is the word that brings us into that place where we will see the power of God moving and changing things. And as I said with Mary, we went down to Mary's and we gave her scriptures, we gave her the word. And today she's got an iPhone there or whatever it is, a Galaxy of some sort. And we got the word of God downloaded onto her phone for her. And I believe that one, you can also listen to that one, can't you? So, and it was like, if you can't always read it, she can listen to it. Because she was having trouble concentrating at that time. And so I said, well, there are ways of dealing with this. You don't have to read it, you can just listen to it. You can have it being played in the background. And again, you see, hearing the word of God, the Bible tells us, faith comes by hearing. Don't say by reading, it says by hearing. And that's why, you know, I said to you, read out loud. Faith comes by hearing. We're speaking. When we read the word of God, one thing we are doing, we declare into principalities and powers the word of the Lord. We declare into ourselves the word of the Lord. And we're dealing with doubts that would seek to lodge themselves in our minds. Mm. And at the same time, we're dealing with our faith and we're speaking to our faith and we're strengthening our faith as we speak as we hear the word of God being spoken. And so it's very important that we hear the word of God. And so if you've got one of these little new, a lot of these new phones, you can download the word. You don't even have to pay for it. King James Version. Oh, I don't like King James. I don't care. Just listen to the word. It will bless you. Yeah. It will encourage you. It will do you good. I know when I used to have to go down the road and rep. It was a great time. I could listen to half of John's Gospel by the time I got to Manchester. And then on the way back, I listened to the other half of John's Gospel. I don't rep as much now, so I don't get those opportunities anymore. But you could go through the Bible quite easily driving. Yeah, you're not studying it, but you're being fed. Mm. You know, you're being fed constantly by the Word. And the Word is building up in you and it's giving us life and strength. Mm. That as we hear that Word of God, it starts to pull down the strongholds. The lies of the devil that says, oh, you're going out of your mind. Oh, you'll always be like this. Oh, you're always going to be sick. Oh, you're always going to have sugar. Oh, you're going to end up with arthritis. Oh, you're going to have a bad heart. None of these things are lies that come out of the pit. God has made us new. I'm a new creation. And so we need to begin to let this word move in our lives. I believe, I'm wanting to see us move as believers to a level where we can go into a hospital and literally empty a hospital ward.
Amen.
And I know some folk look and say, you're crackers. Well, I'd rather be crackers and at least have a go at doing it than not. I'd rather hear God say to me, well, I'm glad you went for it. I'm glad you went for it because at least you had a goal. You had a vision and a purpose and you were going for it. Well, I'm not saying it won't happen, I'm not saying it will happen. But what I'm saying is that you have to go for something in God. And if you don't, the devil will drag you back.
Yeah.
He'll pull you down. He'll slow you down. Say, you're getting old now, you need to just slow down and back off and take it easy and let everybody else do it. But we have so much to give.
Amen.
We have such a wealth to share. Yeah, let them run with the energy, but let us share the wealth and let's bring that encouragement. Let's, as I look back over the years and I see what God had done in different meetings, I think, today they're not seeing it. Because God has not given time to be involved in a meeting. God is not directly invited in. He literally stands on the perimeter, waiting to be invited in. He stood outside his own church waiting for him to invite him to come in. And then that's why because he's never invited in, that's why we don't see the great miracles that we used to see. Because faith has waned. And faith will rise when we start to see things happen. Faith begins to rise. Mm-hmm. People begin to think, wow, did you see what happened last week? You know, so-and-so came out for prayer with whatever our problem is. Healed. Next time the call for prayer, I'm going out, and faith begins to rise, and we begin to teach the word of God, and we're bringing people to that new level to them, but it's a level that God wants us to be in. It's a level that God wants us to move in. It's a level of the supernatural, of the superpower of God that we need to be moving in, that it becomes to us natural. Not supernatural, it's natural, because we are spiritual beings. We're no longer tied to these earthly things. And so we don't struggle against flesh and blood. That's the problem. We allow our thoughts. We allow what other people say about us to control us, to manipulate us, to direct our lives. What does God say?
That's the important
What does the Word of God say? We need to be so enthusiastic about this book.
Amen.
We need to be so enthusiastic about this word that we literally become a rash and a virus over everybody.
Yeah.
And we infect them with Jesus. We infect them with the joy. We infect them with the enthusiasm of the Spirit. Because I tell you what, if we cannot affect them with the enthusiasm of the Spirit, then they'll go to the enthusiasm of the world. And they'll end up in the nightclubs. You see, there's a lot more enthusiasm in the nightclubs at times. I know it's usually lubricated with something. There's usually some liquor that lubricates it. But hey, if we're lubricated by the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
And our enthusiasm should get people moving and thinking, wow, look at what they're doing, look what's happened, look where they're going, see what God's doing. And they get caught into this and they just begin to want to, they'll just jump in. Because they see it moving and they see it going and they see the power of the Spirit of God. And it begins to pull down the strongholds. And it begins to cause people to realise the great power that there is in this word. And when the word resides in us, then the power resides within us. Right? It takes residence. And as I was saying earlier about Nehemiah, they'd built the temple. They'd got the house ready. They hadn't built a wall around it. The wall was all knocked down. And until the wall was built, Jesus could not come. Jesus could not be present until everything had been completed. Nehemiah, he takes on that project. And he sees, and the word of God builds a strong wall around us, a wall of protection. As Job was, he had such a relationship with God, it built a strong wall around him. And so the devil couldn't get near him. So God, if you want, broke that relationship to some degree and said, look, I trust this man. I've got faith in this man because of his relationship that we have. And he allowed the devil to come in, and as we know, he tormented him and tortured him and did him untold damage, destroyed his children, took all his wealth and everything. And you know something? I read the end of the book. I read the end of Job. And it says he had a double portion of everything he lost. He was twice as wealthy. He was twice as happy with when it was all over and done with. And even his daughters were blessed and were the fairest in the land. So these are the things that you have to focus on and realise. You know, sometimes you go through a difficulty. Sometimes you're going through challenges to face and deal with. But you have to stay in relationship with God. We have to stay in relationship with the Word of God. And that will change things. The end result, I've read the end of the book. We do win.
It's a blessing.
It's a blessing. And it will be seen in our lives as we stay faithful to the Word. And Job stayed faithful to the word. Folk accused him and said, oh, you've done something wrong, you've done this wrong, you've got to have done... And these were his friends, looking for excuses and reasons instead of saying, well, let's just get back into relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit will point it out. And he, in the end, had to pray for these people and make sacrifices for them to, so that they might be restored. But God is faithful in all that he does for each and every one of us. So it's important that you and I keep this relationship. Now, back to Nehemiah, and the wall's built, and everything appears to be going okay. Everything seems to be fine, the temple's in operation. Nehemiah comes back a few years after the wall's been built, and starts to have a guided tour of everything. It's a bit of a symbolic symbol of like God coming into our lives, and the Holy Spirit coming, just to having a look around, what's happening, you know. And the temple is made up of many rooms. Our lives are made up of many rooms and compartments. And he's going around and he arrives at a room, and this room is set aside. I've forgotten what it should have been set aside for, but it was set aside for sacred things. He opens the door, and in it's somebody's bed and clothing and belongings. And he's like, whose are these? Oh, it's that Wilkes and Ballard.
Tobias.
It was Tobias and the other guy. There were three of them anyway. his name evades me for a moment. Well, certainly Tobias was definitely. Their things were in there. And he's like, "You were joking." He looks at God's men and says, "You actually allowed him to take residence in the house of God when he stood against the word of God. He stood against the Spirit of God. He stood against the people of God. And you've invited him in." It's like inviting the devil along. So say, "We're going to have church, devil. Why don't you come along and join us? You know? Come on in. Come and fellowship with us." It's not going to happen.
No.
Come and take residence. Black and white. Light and darkness don't live together. You know, darkness can be in the room. You pop a light on and it's gone. There's no darkness. Right? Even the smallest light. Today,
it prepared a room for Tobias.
Tobias. I thought it weren't Sambalat.
A large room where they had previously put the grain offering, the frankincense, the vessels and the tithes of grain, wine and oil.
Where the offerings were left. That's the last place you leave the devil, where the offerings are. He's going to steal everything that there is. He's going to rob you. You see, if he's there where the offerings are, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to rob you of your blessings.
Yeah.
He's going to steal your offering. And he's going to rob you of your blessings.
Because you had to cleanse it out, didn't you?
Well, they had to clean it all out and totally cleanse the place. But that's what the word does. In our lives, the word is that cleansing. Now you see, here he is, he's in there, and so Nehemiah blows a fuse, basically.
He says, "I then discovered the wrong that Eliashib had done on behalf of Tobiah." It was Eliashib you were talking about.
Oh, that's the other one, yeah.
"Preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God, and I was very angry, and I threw all the household furniture of Tobiah out of the room."
Righteous anger. There are times to be angry, and but here we have the cleansing has to begin. You see, and he had to go through a ritual cleansing. Now, thankfully, the Word of God is our cleansing, and our relationship with the Heavenly Father cleanses us and works in our lives. But see how so easy it was to let the wrong thing in,
yeah.
And it is so easy. Drop your guard and the enemy slips in. And once he's in, you're fighting the battle on both sides. You're fighting the battle externally, you're fighting the battle internally. And so you then have a bigger battle to fight. And you have to begin to. The first thing we have to learn to do is keep the wall sealed.
Yeah.
Keep that strong tower. Keep that strong tower protecting us. If he gets in, we're going to have a tough battle to fight.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to work more on it. And the working is in working on our relationship with the Lord, working on our relationship, spending time in the Word, and that Word will move us, change us, and drive out the enemy so that he does not have the ability to have a foothold.
No.
Now then, there's a program on TV tonight, and they're going to be looking at animals with what they call superpowers. And I just caught a glimpse, and I've seen this one before. There's this dam, water dam, and the sheer wall was basically going up to the water. And obviously the dam does have a slight slope on it, as you all know. And they zoom in with this camera, and there's this, because in it, initially there's this tiny speck halfway up the dam wall, and when they zoom in on it, there's this mountain goat climbing up the side of this just about sheer wall. You know, it stands on next to nothing. I don't know whether they have them in Nepal, things like that, and they stand on next to nothing. It's like you and I would not have a chance. But this thing just skips along and works its way to the top.
High feet in high places.
Yeah. We have to learn to do this spiritually.
Yeah, we do.
Right? This is where we're at, you see. The Word of God will enable us. The Word of God gives us the superpowers.
It does.
That's where we're at. God's Word gives us the superpowers that will take us to that next level, that will allow us to overcome the obstacles, that will drive out the enemy and allow us to build the wall and be protected from the enemy. When Nehemiah was building the wall, Sambalat and Tobias turned around and said, it'll just fall down, not be long before it falls down. Well, they were wrong. See, because God was in it.
Mm.
And it's important that we always put God in it.
Mm.
The battle does belong to the Lord, but we have to be involved with Him.
Mm.
The battle's already been won. You know, the war's over in that sense. We've got to be there, though, because there are skirmishes that go on in our lives that we have to deal with. I'm speaking of myself as well. None of us are immune to it.
No.
But the thing that will carry us through, that brings us into victory, is the Word of God. Is our prayer time with the Father. Knowing and seeing Him change circumstances and situations, and He will do it. But, again, it's our focus. This is our greatest challenge, the mind that we have. Because our mind, for always some reason, goes to the bad things. Goes to the negative. Goes to the worst. You see, the news, it shouldn't be said news at 10, it should be bad news at 10. Because there's just about never any good news on, but there's good news happening all over the world.
Mm.
But we only deliver bad news, so it should be entitled bad news at 10. Then what they should do is have another program, good news at 9. I know what will get the most ratings. The bad news will get the most ratings because we always look to the negative. We need to change our thinking. Look to the good things. What happened good today? Instead of, focus on what God has done good today, what you've done good today. And push away the things of the negative. Push away the things of darkness. Today, it was dark in an area where I walked in out of bright sunlight. And I just had to have my phone in my hand. And the screen was on, just the general screen. And I walked into a room. And it was like, oh, it's dark in here. And I wanted to find something. So I just turned the phone to face towards. I didn't even turn the torch on the phone. Just the slightest bit of light, and the darkness was driven away, and I could see. Don't need much. You don't need a lot of light to begin to drive the devil out. But then you need to increase the light, to place it on top and declare, this is where God lives. This is the house of God. This is where He lives and reigns and rules for all eternity. Amen.
Amen.
So the battle that goes on here is trying to put darkness. The devil tries to put darkness into our mind. Fear, doubt, negative thoughts, unbelief. You're never on your own. Realise that this is a corporate battle that goes on against every one of us. And if he can begin to put some of those things in your mind, and that they lodge in there, then he's beginning to seek to gain ground on us.
If you notice with Nehemiah, they all got involved. So you see, he's trying to get each one of us, isn't he? So of course we're all, not come together, we're split up and
You see, the devil can only take us out one by one.
Yeah.
As a group, as we stay together and encourage one another in God, then we're strong.
Divide and conquer is his strategy.
Yeah, exactly. God is a God of unity.
Yeah.
Bringing together. Restoration. The devil is split him off, kill. Split him off, kill. Jesus said, Satan has come to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come that you might have
life,
he said. Wow. This is what God has come. This is why Jesus came. Jesus came to restore back to us what was given to us originally in Genesis.
Yeah.
In the Garden of Eden, in paradise. He's come to restore that back to us. Glory to God.
I know she's with Job as well, that God only gave him, let him go so far. He won't let him go, you know, he does
that's right.
We only allow to go through things as much as what we can stand. Yeah. And then of course,
well, God says he'll not give you more
than what you can stand.
That's right. And Job, you know, as you said, Job went to real depths. I mean, even his own wife turned around to Job and said, oh, why don't you curse God and just die? Great, you know, thanks for the encouragement, love. You know, that's just what I needed to hear.
Glad you're on my side.
Yeah, that's right. Glad you're with me on this one. You know, it's nice to know. But he didn't, did he? You know? So in the end, it shows that Job was at a point where it was just him and God. And even God seemed far away from him. So in that point, it's now him and his faith in God. Now, he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have a Bible. Because when you look, Job is one of the earliest stories recorded. Right? And Job is really one of the first books to be written. So, here you go. In fact, I'm going to put a question. I'm not even sure that Genesis was written. Now, the stories that he knew were all passed down verbally. There were stories that had been told and told and retold again. I'm just re-looking at the connections from the people born in through the beginning of time. Adam and Seth and so on, and just looking at the connections and see how who knew who, basically. It's quite interesting, and I'm just trying to get it in such a way that I can present it much easier than, because it can be quite complicated.
You said something years ago, Andrew, about that staff
at the
English
time,
it had all things written on it.
That's right. Yeah, they didn't have books.
Down, didn't they?
And they would have the staff of life, it was called. And so they, when they got to the age of not understanding, when they came to manhood, they would be given a staff. And then they would write and mark their life on that staff. And so the staff told their life story. And so wherever they went, if they were feeling depressed, if they were in a battle, they could turn and look at their staff, and it would remind them of the things that God had done for them. It would remind them of the power of God. It would encourage them to keep standing and to keep fighting and resisting the devil, because God was on their side. And so that staff was there as a constant reminder, and it told their life story. And when something else happened in their life and the victories came, they'd carve that in. And they'd have that story. And so when you wanted to know anything about the man, you went and had a look at his staff. And it told his life story. Wow. The staff of life. That's why it was called the staff of life. The staff of his life, the staff of the life of Abraham, the staff of the life of Isaac, the staff of the life of Jacob. And so that was their story. And so, you know, children would look at their staff and say, well, what's this, Grandpa? Grandpa would sit down and begin to tell the story of what Yeshua, what Jehovah Jireh, the provider, had did for him on such and such a day, in such a year, at such and such a time. And he would tell the story, and it would be from his staff. And so there were constant reminders of the blessings of God. And that's possibly some of the time where we fall down. We forget to remind ourselves of the previous blessings of God that happened in our lives. And so we need to be reminded, refreshed and renewed about what God has done in our lives. And in that same renewing and refreshing, press on into greater stories, greater blessings, in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
I'll stop there.